I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, we've got a lot of news to get to with Barr. He was on Fox News with Martha McCallum, gave a really interesting two-part interview. We've got a lot of news from Durham as well, and it looks like he's going after Brennan. This was leaked by the New York Times, I think it was, that leaked this story. So we have a lot of stuff going on here. This is all interesting timing, especially after the Horowitz report and the Horowitz testimony. And the Comey interview, which was an absolute disaster for Comey, that was also on Fox News as well. So let's get into what's going on with the Barr-Durham investigation, or probably better to just call it the Durham investigation. Barr was very clear that he's given Durham pretty much a blank check to go after who he needs to go after. And Barr said he's going to put his full support in Durham's conclusions. But the net is closing in. That's the feeling that I've got. Once again, I don't want to be overly optimistic. But after Horowitz and after listening to Barr and getting the news as to what's going on with Durham and how he's going after Brennan, I'm getting optimistic. What do you think, Alexander?
Well, I agree. And I have to say, I've always had hopes. Fairly high hopes of Barr and Durham. I mean, I should say that I, you know, some knowledge, some background knowledge of Barr. He is, as I've said many times, a very brilliant jurist. I mean, he's not just a good lawyer. He is someone who has an understanding of the philosophy of law. I think he is genuinely and seriously concerned about what was going on. And of course, he was the man who brought the whole Mueller investigation nightmare to an end. If he hadn't become Attorney General and taken over from Rod Rosenstein, the Mueller investigation would just have gone on indefinitely because, as we know, they were trying to construct an obstruction case against Donald Trump. And Barr made it absolutely clear that he thought there was no basis to that whatsoever. Anyway, in this interview, Barr has made it absolutely clear, I mean, he hasn't minced his words in any way, that James Comey's claims that, you know, he was just this, you know, innocent FBI director who had no clue what was going on, you know, in the sort of seven layers below him, where, you know, people like Peter Strzok and Elisa Page and all those sorts of people were doing their various things. I mean, that clearly, Barr absolutely does not believe that. And in fact, he not only does not believe that, but he has also made what I am absolutely sure is the true point, which is that what actually happened with the Russiagate investigation, Crossfire Hurricane, as it was originally, and then the Mueller investigation, but certainly with Crossfire Hurricane, is not that there was too much delegation to too many people too far down the line, but on the contrary, that it was controlled by a small group of people at the very top. That's what Barr said. It's in his interview.
You want me to read you that quote? I've got it right here.
Please do.
Quote, "The idea that this was seven layers below him is simply not true," Barr told Fox's Martha McCallum. And quote, "I think that one of the problems with what happened was precisely that they pulled the investigation up to the executive floors, and it was run and bird-dogged by a very small group of very high-level officials."
So that begs the obvious question of why was it dragged up to the executive floors? Why weren't the investigators lower down the chain left to do their job by themselves? Well, the first thing to say is that obviously in any investigation of a presidential campaign, and can I make it clear, it was an investigation of a presidential campaign, Comey's pretense that it was just an investigation of four individuals is nonsense. All of them worked for the Trump campaign in various ways, and they were all being investigated in order to investigate the Trump campaign. Any investigation of a presidential campaign during an election year, however good the reason, even if the reason is the most compelling of reasons, needs to be supervised and monitored very closely by the people who are in charge of the FBI. I mean, that seems to me elementary. It's a basic thing. You can't have people far down the chain of command acting entirely, by themselves and doing whatever they want in such a politically charged investigation. But what Barr is saying, and it needs to be, his words need to be read very carefully. What Barr is saying is not only did these people closely at the top closely supervise the Russiagate investigation, they were actually running it, they were controlling it. They were saying essentially who should be investigated and who should not, and how it should be done. In other words, Comey, and one has to say Comey here, and his leadership team were themselves the ultimate people in charge of this investigation. And that comes to the next point. Why? Why was Comey and his leadership team conducting an investigation of this nature against the Trump campaign in an election year? Well, I think the only possible explanation is one of bias. And the reason I say that is not only because this investigation was carried out and conducted in the most extraordinarily irregular ways, but as many people are pointing out, every single mistake that was made in this investigation, and I use the word mistake euphemistically because I don't think these actually were mistakes. I think most of the things that went wrong were done deliberately, but every single mistake was always in one direction, which was to in increase this and extend the scope of the investigation of the Trump campaign. So it clearly seems to me here that you have an intentional and biased campaign carried out at the highest levels of the FBI in order to fight, in order to basically compromise Donald Trump in the middle of the 2016 election. And I am deriving those comments. I'm not guessing now. I am basing this discussion, these comments of mine that I've just made, on what has been said by William Barr, the Attorney General of the United States.
I agree. Barr is very calm in his delivery
Absolutely.
and he's very measured, but when you really dig deep into what he says and really study his words, there is no doubt that he is going to go after these guys. And there's no doubt that he doesn't buy for 1 minute what Comey said the other day
No.
when he was giving his interview on Fox News as well. He doesn't buy one bit of it. Alexander, I think it's time that we have to revisit Papadopoulos a little bit before we shift gears and look at Durham, because
Yeah.
Barr did mention what Durham is up to as well.
Yeah.
Not so much what he's up to, but what authority he's given Durham. And then
Yeah.
we have the article that's there's a lot of articles actually,
Well,
mainly
indeed.
from the New York Times that broke the story that said Durham is going after Brennan. And I'm paraphrasing that, going after Brennan, but he is going after Brennan. But let's revisit Papadopoulos real quickly, because Barr also touched on Papadopoulos. Here's what he told Martha McCallum during that interview in reference to Papadopoulos. Barr was saying that at the time of the comment made by Papadopoulos, that the Russians might have something that they would drop in the public that was adverse to Hillary Clinton. That was during a period of rampant speculation in the media and political circles. Papadopoulos' statement, Barr said, had very little probative values. Quote, to lead to the conclusion that it showed knowledge of a later hack into the DNC was a pretty aggressive conclusion. I just think that by the time the president entered office around that time, it was becoming clear that there was no basis to these allegations, not just the Steele dossier falling apart, but the information that they were relying on as to Page and to Papadopoulos. So Barr is also taking a look at the famous the infamous meeting in London with Downer, and then Downer, you know, going to Australian intelligence, who then notified the FBI and the CIA, the intelligence agencies in the US, and then they got this whole thing rolling as well. So outside of the Page part and the FISAs, you have the Papadopoulos component. So can we revisit that? Because Barr is taking a look at that as well.
Well, what Barr is saying is that the whole Papadopoulos scenario, the claim that what actually caused the FBI to launch Crossfire Hurricane was this tip-off, this supposed tip-off they got from Australia, that you know, Papadopoulos had told the Australians that the Russians were offering dirt to the Trump campaign on Hillary Clinton. What he's saying is that this is absolute and complete nonsense. And by the way, again, I have been saying this, we in the Duran have been saying this since day one. I wrote an article for the Duran just directly after the whole Papadopoulos story came out, in which I said that you don't base a whole investigation on something that a young man of 28 says in a wine bar. I mean, that's just crazy. Nobody does that. That's ridiculous. You know, an investigation of an entire presidential campaign. And, you know, the point that Barr is making, by the way, about there being rampant speculation in the media, the rampant speculation he's referring to is about the Clinton emails. This was, if you remember, the time in early 2016 when the entire media, including the Duran, we were looking at the question of Hillary Clinton's emails, which had passed through her illegally used private server, and which she then illegally, I use that word advisedly, illegally destroyed 30,000 of them rather than hand over to the FBI, as of course she should have done. Anyway, that was what everybody at that time was talking about. And that's clearly what the reference that was, that, you know, this concept of, you know, dirt, having dirt on Hillary Clinton, it's clearly what that was referring to. It was all about Hillary Clinton's missing emails. I made that precise point, that very point, in an article directly after the indictment on Papadopoulos was published. There was no basis for construing that as a reason to anticipate that the Russians were going to hack the DNC's computers, even if the Russians did hack the DNC computers. There is no connection between these two events. There is, as lawyers say, it's a non sequitur. There is no, the one doesn't lead to the other. But of course, I'm going to say something else, which is, of course, and I'm sure Barr knows more than he's saying, because of course we've had Papadopoulos' story. We've discussed the things Papadopoulos said in his interviews with Mark Stein. And we now know that this whole story about, you know, this tip-off, the supposed information that Papadopoulos was given about the Russians having dirt on Hillary Clinton, emails of Clinton, is supposed to have been said to Papadopoulos by Joseph Mifsud, this mysterious Maltese professor, in a London hotel in April 2016. And everything that Papadopoulos had said about that encounter, and everything that happened, everything that Papadopoulos says about the subsequent encounter with Alexander Downer, the Australian High Commissioner in the Kensington wine rooms, all of that suggests that that incident was staged, that both the conversation with Mifsud and the conversation with Downer were actually orchestrated, that they were arranged by someone. Papadopoulos has referred to it as a dangle. So quite apart from the fact that on its face, this story would not have justified launching an investigation like Crossfire Hurricane, we cannot believe what appears on its face. It doesn't seem plausible or true. Mifsud had many more connections, as it turns out, with Western intelligence agencies, and was, of course, in some way involved with Hillary Clinton Foundation and all that. And this meeting with Alexander Downer doesn't seem to have been mere chance. So Bahar is clearly pointing the whole Papadopoulos story, not just being threadbare, which on the face it is, but I suspect he is also deep down sure that it's concocted also, which is what my belief is.
Yeah, this is a setup. Barr knows it was a setup. He knows Papadopoulos was set up. He knows that the intelligence agencies of the United States, this is my opinion, they were working with the intelligence agencies of the UK and Australia to create this narrative that Papadopoulos had this information. And now, you know, we need to monitor the Trump campaign and we need to launch Crossfire Hurricane.
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, this was all a setup to justify what I believe the FBI and the CIA had already decided, which is that they are going to take down the Trump campaign and eventually take down U.S. President Trump. This was already decided, and they needed to lay the groundwork as to justify what they were up to. And that's where Papadopoulos fit in. Wrong place, wrong time for that young man.
That's exactly my view also. I mean, it's also what Papadopoulos himself is saying. They looked around for people on the fringes of the Trump campaign that they could sort of pick on and try and manipulate in order to create a pretext, to construct a pretext that would justify mass surveillance and investigation of the Trump campaign. And that's what happened. That was what the whole Papadopoulos thing was all about. The whole Papadopoulos thing was an attempt to try to compromise the Trump campaign by making out that there was some kind of illicit contact via Papadopoulos with the Russians. And it didn't quite succeed because Papadopoulos didn't play the game as they'd expected him to. But to the extent that they were able to get anything out of it, it was enough, so they thought, to justify launching this investigation. Only, in fact, it wasn't. It's a threadbare thing.
Yeah, and we look at the ringleaders now, and Comey's definitely one part of it. But now let's take a look at Brennan and the New York Times article, which I also think is a setup. I think the New York Times is trying to get ahead of this story in order to protect Brennan and, of course, to protect Hillary Clinton and Obama and all the people that are really, who I think are really behind this whole thing, or at least definitely knew about what was going on. And in that case, I say Barack Obama knew what was going on. And I think Hillary Clinton, at the end of the day, all roads lead to her, Hillary Clinton and the DNC. But Brennan was definitely instrumental in getting all of this stuff started as well, just as instrumental as Comey. So take us into the New York Times story. Take us into fact that we now have Durham going after, and I say the word going after, Brennan.
Well, what Durham is doing is that he's following the leads and he's doing it properly. I mean, this is a true and real investigation into actual wrongdoing. And he's looking at the start of this whole extraordinary affair. And he's looking at the people who were clearly involved. And of course, we've been talking about Brennan and the role that Brennan played in getting Russiagate off the ground right the way through. It has been my belief all along that this whole thing with Russiagate actually began at the CIA, which is an agency which has historically always been closer to the Democrats. And of course, Brennan himself is much closer to the Democrats, and which has, of course, a long history of this kind of manipulation and wire pulling in order to achieve its objectives as part of its covert activity overseas. So not surprisingly, what we're now discovering is that Durham acting as the investigator that he is, but supervised by Barr, is now actually asking to see all of Brennan's records. And that's really very interesting because, of course, we will see what those records come up with. He's also apparently intending to interview Brennan's supposed boss, Clapper, who was at the time the director of National Intelligence, the person who seems to have been working closely with Brennan in order to get Russiagate underway. But for me, the single most interesting piece of news is that the former head of the National Security Agency, the NSA, Admiral Rogers, has apparently broken ranks. The NSA, I would remind our viewers, was the one agency that showed less support for the notorious Clapper, Brennan, Comey intelligence assessment, which was published in January 2017, and which has been accepted across the media and the political world in the United States as the gospel truth on Russian meddling in the election. Anyway, Rogers has apparently voluntarily come forward and is actively cooperating with Durham. And of course, Rogers was probably in a position to know more than perhaps anyone else, because the nature of the National Security Agency is that they can monitor everybody's calls. So we will see where all this is going to go. It's all very interesting, but it does seem to me that what we've heard from Barr, William Barr, basically severely implicates Comey and puts Comey on warning that his statements are not being believed and are not credible, and that the Justice Department is going to shortly come after him. And what we're learning from Durham, from all these leaks, is that Durham is following the leads through to the sources, that he's going directly to the two other people most heavily implicated, Clapper and Brennan, and that he's getting help from Rogers and the NSA.
Those are the big three. Those are the big three you want to take down.
Absolutely.
We've said it many times. I don't know if they'll get higher than those three, but if you can get those three guys, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, then I would say it was a pretty successful investigation undertaken by Barr and Durham. And I also think, Alexander, you could confirm the press is going to do their best, as we've seen in this New York Times piece, to try and get ahead of the story and try to protect these guys and maybe try to construct a narrative, you know, in the media and towards the public that Brennan, Comey, and Clapper really didn't do these things, and that Durham and Barr going after them, you know, under some sort of, you know, Trump malicious revenge kind of order. I think that's why the New York Times specifically leaked this piece out.
Absolutely. It reminds me exactly of what the New York Times tried to do with the Horowitz report. We had all these stories in the New York Times about how the Horowitz report was going to completely clear the FBI, and that, you know, there were a few minor errors that had been identified, but that overall the Horowitz report was going to clear the FBI of any major wrongdoing. And then we actually got the Horowitz report, and it said the opposite. It was all there, all 474 pages of it in black and white. It took a bit of time, and Horowitz himself coming along to give evidence before the Senate, before people really understood what was actually in that report, in that Horowitz report. But clearly, it was an attempt, it was a desperate attempt by the New York Times and by the Democrats' media friends to try and spin the story before it hit. And what we see with all these reports that are now appearing in the New York Times about, you know, the investigation, especially of Brennan, is the same thing. It's an attempt to spin this story, to soften up the public so as to make it seem somehow that this is less serious and less important and more malicious than it actually is. Now, can I remind our viewers of the early days of Russiagate. I can remember endless stories in the US media, in the New York Times especially, but also in the Washington Post, in the Guardian, on MSNBC, on CNN, about all these endless leaks, about all these investigations of Donald Trump and of his associates and of all these people who had allegedly were you know, the net was closing in on them because of the huge role they'd supposedly played in contacting and colluding with the Russians. All of that was completely untrue. It was completely manipulated. Now you're seeing leaks about how an actual investigation of certain individuals, which we know is actually happening, all that Russiagate stuff was nonsense. This is a real investigation of real people by real investigators, how this is really, you know, malicious and isn't going to get anywhere. If you didn't believe the leaks the New York Times published, if you accept that the leaks the New York Times published on Russiagate were false, why believe that these latest leaks that are being published by the New York Times, trying to protect people like Brennan and Clapper, why believe that those leaks are true? It's the same people who are doing the leaking. It's the same people who are publishing the leaks. The previous leaks were false. Almost certainly, these leaks are false also.
They're going down.
They're going
Clapper, Comey, Brennan, right?
Yeah, indeed. And we'll see what ultimately happens, by the way, to the great newspaper of record, the New York Times, which has behaved appallingly over this whole affair. But you know.
They all have CNN,
No,
MSNBC.
absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I will say this. I mean, CNN, MSNBC, those sorts of media channels, I've never followed so much. I mean, in Europe, we don't really follow them very much. But the New York Times and the Washington Post, I have been keeping track of since the 70s. To see them reduced to this kind of thing is just deeply distressing, actually. It's shameful.
Also in the UK, the media in the UK has been
Oh,
no better.
the media in the UK has, if anything, been worse. And if I have to be frank, the BBC and the Guardian have definitely been worse. I mean, there's been endless articles. There's a commentator on the BBC called Anthony Zucker, who has been one of the most fervid believers in the Russiagate story, and who's published the most extraordinary, astonishing things about Christopher Steele and his dossier. And of course, The Guardian has taken this all a huge step further. And I'm going to say something. If you follow the British media, you won't know anything about Horowitz. You won't know anything about his report. You won't know anything about the Pfizer abuse. I mean, at least in the US, that's been covered. It's been barely touched on here. Certainly not been given the kind of importance that it deserves. Obviously, we've had an election, which is a big event here. Obviously, there's Brexit coming over the horizon, which is also a big event here. But this is an affair that involves the President of the United States, and Britain was involved in it in some form. It absolutely needed to be discussed. The British media, the BBC and the Guardian, have covered the impeachment, the phony impeachment proceedings against Donald Trump. Are you really going to tell me that they don't have the space and the time to cover the far more serious and absolutely real revelations about the true and actual investigation into what went wrong by the people who sold us and gave us Russiagate?
I
I
agree.
don't.
There is no way you can talk about the coup attempt against Donald Trump without talking about British intelligence, Australian intelligence, and Ukraine intelligence.
Absolutely.
Those three countries played a pivotal role in all of
Yes.
this. And we've proven it over and over in our past videos.
Absolutely. Of course they did. No question about it. I mean, all those three countries, Britain, Australia, and Ukraine. I suspect the Australians were lent on by the British. They were brought in to do it by the British. Britain has a lot of influence in Australia. But those countries were horrified at the idea that Donald Trump would become president of the United States and would do what he said he would do, which is repair relations with Russia. The British are committed to a policy of confrontation with Russia. And Ukraine at that time, under the Maidan regime led by Petro Poroshenko, was in a state of undeclared war with Russia. So they did everything they possibly could to help Hillary Clinton get into the White House and to stop Donald Trump from getting elected. And when Donald Trump did get elected, they did everything they possibly could to stop Donald Trump remaining president of the United States. And they did that by helping Donald Trump's domestic opponents in the Democratic Party and in the US intelligence community.
Could I ask you a quick question? In your opinion, did you think it was the British intelligence that approached Downer and then Downer passed it on to the Australian intelligence? How do you think that connection worked? I mean, do you think they had Downer targeted or working with him, not targeted, just kind of saying, okay, we got this guy, Alexander Downer, who's here in London. Let's get him in on this. He'll be the bridge to Australian intelligence, who will then relay it back
I think that's
to the United
exactly what happened.
States.
I mean, I think that's exactly what happened. I mean, anybody who knows the way British and Australian intelligence work, and knows that they're joined at the hip. I mean, they're both obviously part of the Five Eyes alliance, but I mean, Australia shares the same queen as Britain. You know, we have the same head of state. Our political leaderships are extremely closely aligned. Now, obviously, it's not as close a relationship as it used to be, say at the time of the Second World War, or even in the 50s and 60s. But it is a very, very close relationship indeed. So the British looked for a convenient foreign diplomat that they could, you know, arrange to meet with Papadopoulos after they'd got him to speak to Mifsud, and who more easy and more easily and obviously available than Alexander Downer, the Australian High Commissioner. So of course it was done that way. It was a feedback. It was a feedback loop. I mean, the British arrange for him to meet Alec. Well, they talk to each other. The British and the Australians talk to each other. They arrange for Mifsud to speak to Papadopoulos. A few weeks later, there's this conversation with Alexander Downer, which is also arranged, and then it's passed on to the FBI by the Australian government. And I'm sure the British were there and knew about it every step of the way. I'd be astonished if that was not the case.
What an incredible story. What an
Well,
incredible story.
what makes it incredible for me is not that these sort of things don't happen. I mean, anybody who knows anything about how you know, foreign policy is conducted and intelligence is conducted knows that some pretty complicated and frankly awful things happen. But that these countries and a large section of the US intelligence community appear to have been engaged in a conspiracy. I can't use any other word. I don't know what other word to use. A conspiracy against the man who has been elected president of the United States. That is remarkable. I mean, that's absolutely beyond belief. And I mean, it leaves me speechless. If you'd asked me about this 4 years ago, before Donald Trump was elected, I'd have said it couldn't happen.
Astonishing. All right. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we publish a new video. Check us out on iTunes and on SoundCloud as well to get an audio copy of this video. And also go to durantvideo.com and bitchute.com to get copies of this video. We post all our videos not only on YouTube, but on durantvideo.com, which is our own video platform, and BitChute, which is the free speech video platform. Don't forget PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar as well to donate to the Duran. and download the Telegram app and follow us there. Subscribe to the Duran channel. And we still have about maybe 10, 15 more days left with the DRN20 coupon, 20% off all merchandise from the Duran shop.
But Christmas is coming up very fast. So if you want to get magnificent mugs like this for your friends and for yourself and for your family as Christmas gifts, time to do that is running out. So please go onto our shop. Remember DRN20 as the magic discount code to get yourself some amazing magic mugs. Magic mugs, which I would remind our viewers, are 15 ounces. They're made of beautiful porcelain. They are light and strong and elegant. You can drink tea from them, or hot chocolate, or coffee, as I do, and beer, as I have also done, and champagne, as I also did on one occasion. They are the most amazing mugs you can buy. This one has the coat of arms of the Russian Federation on it, as you will find on Vladimir Putin's mugs. But there are lots of other mugs with all sorts of other devices, heraldic devices and emblems and all sorts of amazing things. It's one of the most elegant mugs, though, in my opinion, but that's my own personal opinion. You will notice I've had it now for several months. It's as good as new. That gives you an idea of what an excellent mug this is. So your magic mugs, amazing gifts, amazing things to own. You've also got wonderful shirts like the polo shirt I am wearing now, which will soon be accompanying me to the Alps, where my wife is going skiing. I don't ski myself, by the way. My eyesight is good enough for that. But certainly I will be there to go to all the social events and all the social things that go along with skiing. And I'll be wearing my beautiful Duran polo shirts there. 100% cotton, all of them with the Duran emblem embroidered on them. Incredibly comfortable, incredibly stylish, marvelous to wear, right for all times and all seasons and all weathers. But we don't just have polo shirts, we've got long sleeve t-shirts, we've got short sleeve t-shirts, we've got v-neck shirts, all beautifully made in the same way, 100% cotton. We've got hats, we've got stickers, we've got amazing things, hoodies too. So come along to our shop, DRN20, buy yourself these wonderful things, buy them as presents, Christmas presents and New Year presents for your family and for your friends. DRN20, I repeat again, is the discount code. Alex will tell you how it's done.
Just go to the duranshop.com and put DRN20, once again, we repeat it, in the checkout page. You'll see the little coupon box. Just put that in there, you'll get 20% off. Alexander McCurry, editor-in-chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.